I'm Frank Vaughn. It's February 2nd, 2026, and I had an interesting weekend because I filmed Friday and Saturday, and I had a video ready about an hour long, but I felt it was inefficient. It just wasn't up to standard, so I deleted the whole thing and canned the entire project to redo it later. And then yesterday, I spent a significant amount of time reviewing the leadership review Conservative Party farcus that was going on and putting together video clips and doing the whole thing. And then I canned that too. And I thought to myself, what is going on? I can't seem to want to publish what it is that I'm trying to say. And I thought, you know, maybe I've hit the video creator's equivalent of a writer's block because I worked all weekend and I got nothing to show for it. And you know what the real problem is? It's the tedium. It's the tedium of waiting for something to happen. Because you and I were plebs. I don't care who you are. We're not in control of events. We're being steered by events, and we're trying to interpret what those events mean. And then, you know, you look, I haven't had much hope in conservative politics federally in a long time. Even though I voted for the conservatives in the last election, it wasn't like I did it with any real enthusiasm. And I think my big issue, and we don't need to get technical about it, we don't need 15 million clips analyzed and parsed and reviewed. It's this idea of the big tent. In Canadian politics, there's only ever been two parties that form government. There's the Liberals and whatever is going around for the Conservatives. That's it. Two choices. And these choices, as the years have gone by, have become more and more alike to the point where you change clothes, you change governments, and as people have highlighted, Stephen Harper gave us the Foreign Investment Protection Act, brought us closer to China. Deindustrialization has taken place under every single conservative government and every single liberal government. Nobody has presented a plan to make Canada stronger and better and more sane. It seems like the only answer is to seize power from the provinces and to further consolidate power in the hands of Ottawa, so that we can deindustrialize even further and create trade agreements as if that builds a country. But this idea of the big tent, you know, one of the things that really frustrated me about this weekend is they barely were able to pass a motion in the Conservative Party banning the sterilization and mass mutilation of children in this country because we have embraced this nonsense known as trans ideology. And one of the things that I said in one of the videos that I didn't release was simply the fact that in my life and in my experience, I've ran into this three times. Three girls. Actually four, if you include CD and the whole British Columbia Supreme Court affair, but that's neither here nor there. Three in my personal circle between the ages of 10 and 13 who had this whole trans ideation thing going on, being encouraged by the public school system, mainly in Ontario, but also a little bit in other places in the country. And all three were girls, and all three resolved. They just gave up on it because it's a fantasy. It's not real. This should be one of those things where it is crystal clear that it is wrong for society to do this, and that no government should support it, no sane person should support it. And yet the Conservatives barely passed a motion condemning it by 2%. Now, I've seen the explanation is that there's this convoluted logic that conservatives, principled conservatives, believe in parental rights above all else, even if that includes the parental right to choose to allow your child to pursue mutilation of themselves before they're even finished puberty. They've barely gotten into puberty. Parental rights somehow trumps that. And I disagree. I disagree. The Puritan, the principled conservative, the libertarian that rests within my core, I have all of these things inside of me, is giving way to sensible, in a sense, authoritarianism. Because society needs daddy. We're out of control. And we don't have any defined options. We're so malleable. We're like clay and plasticine. When I listen to the conservatives talk about the big tent invites all kinds of bad ideas in. The big tent is inclusive, and they're desperate. They're desperate to show you how inclusive they are, that they are just like the liberals in every way, except they're somehow conservatives. It's like they stick to diversity in suits and expect us to buy that it's different. We don't want diversity. We want exclusion. We don't want inclusion. We want more discrimination, not less. There's this idea that discrimination is bad, that it's evil, that the idea of saying no in society is something to be rejected, that the only noble pursuit is an unmitigated, unrestrictive yes to every single thing, to the exclusion of nothing. And you can't create a society around an unmitigated yes. A society is determined by how often and to what it says no to. And it's okay to say no. It's okay to say we will not allow, from the top down, from God on high even, we will not allow the mutilation of children. I don't understand how 48% of conservative, so-called conservative voters couldn't just jump on board with that idea. Are you kidding me at this point? The idea that government authority shouldn't extend? Do you know how much government authority is in our lives already? We got government up the ass all over the place, and we can't deploy government to protect minors from mutilation? That's a principled stance? It's FUBAR. It's absolutely FUBAR. This big tent notion. There's only two options in Canada, as I began to say. And that's all people are going to choose between. Because the people who don't like the red team will never vote for the red team. Maybe they'll throw their vote away on the orange team. Maybe they'll give it to the conservatives, but they're not going to vote red. And it's the same for the, like, it's the same both ways. There's only two options. So why not, instead of catering, instead of trying to win, which hasn't worked for 12 years now, almost 12 years, why not just define an option? Define what you are, take strong stances, and then sell it to the public. Confront the media. You know, there is a video clip.
And Prime Minister, know that every person in this room and the 180,000 people who work in this industry have your back, just as we know that you have ours.
Now, you hear the crowd? And the muted applause that goes with that, that's because he said the quiet part out loud that you're not supposed to say. The federal government, and by the way, if you didn't read the title, this was at a media conference. This is a media guy speaking to the prime minister saying the whole industry, all 180,000 of us that are responsible with writing propaganda in this country, we've got your back. That's what happens when the federal government starts funding and drilling millions of dollars into subsidizing the mainstream media, not just your big national rags, but your local press as well, Local Journalism Initiative. If you see that title, I don't even know if it's still there because most of my newspapers, when I get them, they go straight into fire-making material for the fireplace because it's junk. It's propaganda paid for by the state. This is what conservatives are up against in this country. You're not going to win by catering. You're not going to win by playing nice. You've got to fight these people all day, every day. You got to make them angry. You got to stand for something and be proud to stand for that something and let the outrage fuel you. Do you know how Donald Trump won in the United States? And I'm not making a direct comparison. I'm not saying we need to make a carbon copy of Trump and import him into this country. I'm saying we need to learn the political science lesson of the rise of Trumpism, if you want to call it that. He took uncompromising positions in 2016, in 2015, booed at every single debate, protesters. The guy had to. There were so many protesters outside of a California rally that he had to come in the back entrance. And one of my favorite clips of all time is him pulling up against a highway barricade and with his private security detail hopping that barricade and having to walk in through the back way as a helicopter is filming it because everybody's out front and he can't get in. And he still went and he still spoke and he won that election. probably would have won in 2022. 2020 as well, I should say. So you're not thinking I'm talking about the year 2022. The lesson is he adopted a position. He took a position. He took all the shame of the press that they heaped on him, all the outrage. It's still ongoing today. And he said, I don't care. This is what I am. This is the choice. He offered a choice. And the silent American gave him their vote. There's a whole pile of people in this country, 40-odd percent, that don't participate, that don't vote at all. Well, they're not all welfare bums, because I see that explanation. It's so funny. I see it on the right more than I see it on the left, that these people are just on social services and they don't care. And I'm sure that's partly correct. But there's a whole pile of people who are disengaged from the system because they feel like they don't have a choice. When I ran for federal politics in 2019, I got a dose of this myself. I went to 7 different debates. And at each debate, the 4 competitors that I was beside, the Greens, the NDP, the Liberals, and the Conservatives, they all said the same damn thing. They repeated the same talking points. They just dressed it in different words. When it came to carbon, they all had variations on the same theme. Carbon is pollution. It's the enemy. We got to do everything. We got to deindustrialize. We got to destroy Canada to fight the sky demon of carbon. I was the only one on that stage that said, this is nonsense. Carbon's a building block of life. Canada cannot make a reasonable impact on the world. And we'll maybe I'll show that in tomorrow's video. The fact that we're embracing China has all kinds of contradictory, it's nonsensical. But I was the only one offering a choice on just about every single file. I was the only guy on the stage with choice. And every single audience that I went before, even in, I remember the last debate I did, the moderator, and I don't know why it went down this way. You can speculate that it was because I was getting a good response from the audiences, that the moderator instructed the audience of some 300 people, do not applaud. You are not allowed to applaud anything. And when I gave my closing statement, I got thunderous applause from that audience in spite of the moderator's wishes, because people are desperate for choice. Now, it didn't work. I got 2.1% of the vote, 1 in 50. I was kind of happy with that as a first outcome. I figured I was going to lose at least 2 elections before I stood a chance, if there was any sincerity behind the movement that I thought we were trying to build. That's a whole other story. There was a lot of people who liked what I had to say, but they felt I was running for the wrong party. Isn't that the key? Isn't that the key? If I was a conservative running in that election, I am elected member of parliament. I was told that over and over and over again. If I was just under the Conservative Party banner, I would have won the election. Why is that? If that's the key piece of information, why doesn't the Conservative Party do that? Champion difficult positions that can actually do something tangible. I'm sick of the milquetoast. I'm sick of the O'Toole-ification. Polyev is it. He got reelected with 87% of the vote because he is it. That's where the buck stops. There's no one to take up the mantle after him. And ever since he's become leader of the party, it seems like he's getting softer and softer and leaning more and more on talking points instead of combat. Politics is war without the guns. And if you go in there all soft and milquetoast, like last election, stealing defeat from the jaws of victory, by leaning on talking points and listening to Jenny Byrne, for Christ's sake. And I say that. It's not a curse, for Christ's sake. This is an ungodly nation. These are ungodly times. We don't have any champions, and it's frustrating. And maybe that's why I've hit this creator's block, because it's just this. It just seems like there's this lack of leadership, and there's this waiting. This is waiting. You know, I made a tweet about a wonderful aluminum discovery. A lot of potential. We're talking about rewiring the entire aluminum industry in North America. And it's not far up the road from where I am. They're talking about the potential for $9 billion a year in revenue. Now, I know what these mining prospectus and projects that you got to be careful, because first off, it takes the federal government 10 years to approve anything, which if we were a serious country, we would be approving all of this. We would be desperate to make money. There's also the fact that these companies may be inclined to puff up their own numbers and puff up their own announcements to make them look more viable. You know, there's this whole marketing ploy. But the thing looks pretty good. $9 billion in revenue a year in the northeast of Saskatchewan. You do the math, there's about 50, 55,000 people that live in the entire Tisdale-Nipawin Melfort Triangle with all the rurals factored in, about 50, 55,000 people. We're talking about 180,000 in new capital, new GDP growth per person that lives here already. 10 to 15% of Saskatchewan's GDP. A boost to that GDP from this project, which would make North America more secure. Now, the company and Scott Moe and the government have recognized that the market for this product, if it gets to market, is North America. Just like, this is another point of frustration. Why are the Western premiers, specifically, why is Scott Moe still catering to Mark Carney, still catering to Ottawa? They don't butter our bread. They don't give us any money. They take. All they do is take. All they do is get in the way. All they do is get in the way of prosperity. The Northeast could desperately use that money. Could use that economic activity. Are you kidding me? 50 to 55,000 people live in the entire region, and they're talking about creating 4 to 5,000 jobs for the construction phase and 1 to 2,000 jobs on a permanent ongoing basis. Generational dads and sons could work at the same company for their entire life type production. 1 to 2,000 jobs. It's huge. And who's going to buy it? Who's going to buy that product? A little bit will go to Canada. The rest of it will go to the United States. And maybe some of it will go to the world. But it ain't going to be Ottawa that's buttering the bread. Ottawa ain't going to be buying the aluminum. Man. You know, it makes me so impatient. Because there's no bold ideas. We live in a time of immense change. The world looks like it's getting rewired in a multipolar way, where there's going to be the Americans, there's going to be the Chinese and the Indians, and there's going to be the Russians. And Europe just hasn't got the memo yet that they bankrupted themselves. And at best, they're going to be reduced to regionalism. Once the Ukraine war is over, the reckoning comes to Europe. I just want to get on with it, folks. I just want to get on with building. I just want to get on with the future. I want to get over Canada. Because, and that's another thing, you know, every now and again, Pierre Poilievre will come out and he'll say, we're so proud of this Westminster system that we live under. What is there to be proud of? You know, 500,000 people have been debanked in England. The other day, there was a, I could show you the article. What's the point? I'll get back to my normal self, I'm sure. But there was a guy driving a bus driver, public transit, and one of the passengers steals a necklace from one of the other passengers. And the guy does the right thing. He chases this guy down and he gets the necklace back. The police show up and they arrest him. And then he gets fired because the transit company said the guy who robbed the other guy, like the person who committed the crime, was a valued customer. And you can't treat a valued customer like that. Even the police were just like, ah, this guy did the right thing. But the law came along and decided to ruin him. Why are we chasing that? Why are we wanting to live under the crown that is represented by that behavior? People in jail for social media posts and memes in England. They're broke. They're bankrupt. They suck. They're the worst. This Westminster system that we have should be turfed, should be thrown away. We should be dispensing with the king. We should be having conversations about how to empower people, how to make the citizen more powerful. God knows you pay enough in taxes. You're getting screwed every which way by the state. And they don't want to give you anything. They don't want to give you a right to plebiscite. They don't want to give you a right of recall. They don't want to give you an elected Senate. They don't want you to elect your governor general. They don't want your parliamentarians to actually be your government. They don't want to stop this party system, which works as a filter to make sure that anybody you actually elect to parliament is just there to rubber stamp the cabinet and the prime minister's decisions. which come from somewhere else. Comes from these backroom meetings. Some of the people I talk to on the phone who are present for some of these backroom meetings. You know, and I get insight. I get insight as to what goes on the Hill and how decision making happens. And even when the person I'm talking to, I like them and I like their politics, I'm thinking nobody has any concept of how the public face of a party comes to be. It comes from all of these private conversations from people who never stand for election. And it just stinks. This country where we don't even want to protect kids from mutilation. We're very concerned to make sure that they're allowed to do it to themselves. At the same time, as people have to die on waiting lists, and the only alternative they have is to be offered maid services. And now it's like 29 people a day. 29 people a day on average are being offed by maid. Some against their own will. Does anybody care? Does anybody care that that's what Canada is? This isn't progressive. This is a socialist dystopian nightmare. Underneath a king and a governor general, where the people have no power. And I don't care how many university reports come out and say that Canada is one of the freest places on earth. Are you kidding me? So a bunch of socialists get together and compile a list. They're probably funded by the government. And even if it's not directly funded to produce the list, if there's a bunch of funding coming from the government, you're not going to bite the hand that feeds you. And maybe that's what I needed to do today. Maybe I just needed to vent that out there. Because I want events. I'm waiting on events to force the necessary change to make people understand how rotten a deal they've actually got to wake up. I'm Frank Vaughn. I'll see you tomorrow.